Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to episode 4 of the First Down Snapcast, the NFL with a Yorkshire accent. My name's Ian, I'm a Seahawks fan, and today I'm joined by my regular co-presenters, Alex, who's a Giants fan, and he helps me produce this podcast. Hello, Alex.
Hello.
We've got Stuart, who's a Vikings fan. He's also an admin on our board. Stuart, where can you find us?
We're at NFL Yorkshire on Facebook, and you can follow us by the same handle on Twitter as well. Obviously, we've got the First Down Snapcast podcast on Twitter as well, if you guys want to follow us.
And finally, this week, of the main presenters, we've got the boss himself, Rich, who's a Pats fan. How are you doing, Rich?
Not too bad, Ian, thank you.
And our resident expert, Coach Steve, is not with us tonight because he's too busy preparing for the start of the university seasons. Now, last week we chatted to the guys from the Around the Fantasy Pond podcast, and Alex was telling me that they couldn't believe we hadn't discussed fantasy football yet. So I thought we'd ramp it up this week, and I'm really, really delighted to welcome to the show today an Emmy-winning, award-winning news and sports journalist and fantasy football expert, James Kerr. How are you doing, James?
I'm doing great. I feel completely out of place without this Northern English accent, though.
Yeah, you're liking it. You like our Yorkshire twang.
So, yeah, I'm excited to be part of the program. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, well, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on. Obviously, if people want to follow your shout out straight away, you're on Twitter, aren't you?
Yeah, you could do Twitter, you could do Facebook, you could do Instagram. All the handles are exactly the same, as you mentioned. It's at James D. Co. KOH. And I don't know, man. I try to be pretty active, and I really do try my best to answer all the questions that the fans have. So. It might not necessarily be in like a minute or 5 minutes, but you know, maybe hours from now when, quite frankly, when I'm on the can and I've got a couple extra minutes, I'll try to bang out some questions. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. See, we all do it, but we never say it.
That's exactly right. But hey, listen, man, honesty is the key here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Love that's it. Now, when my missus says you can't do that, say, well, James says it's fine.
Yeah, but you know what? I tell you what, man, I'm not one of those guys that's at the stand-up urinal looking at my phone, because I'm just like, hey, listen, the reason we have urinals is to take care of business, to get in and get out. You know what I'm saying? I don't understand the people who are lingering there with their phones. I'm like, guys, get off the phone for 5 seconds.
Yeah, and there's a risk of dropping it as well, which is just a disaster.
There is also that.
It's taken us exactly 5 minutes to get on a toilet talk. I like it.
It's a rousing start to this podcast. I do appreciate it.
Okay, James. Obviously, you're kind of renowned, aren't you, for being a bit of an expert in fantasy football. Do you want to just talk a little bit about sort of how you got into that and obviously some of the work you've done previously?
Yeah, so, you know, it's kind of been a wild and wacky ride to get to where I'm at. I was most recently, with NFL Network. My tenure there ended after a good 4.5 year run. I feel blessed to have worked there. But, you know, that was my most recent gig. But, man, my time ending there, it really brought back a lot of memories in terms of, you know, the crazy journey that I've had. So I started my media career working in these small town radio stations. I mean, I'm talking small. These are towns that with like 5,000 people total. You know what I mean? I did that for a couple years. And then, you know, my first television gig was actually not even on television. It wasn't on camera. I was a part-time videographer of high school football. And somehow, some way, I turned that gig into another gig, into another gig. And what is it? 6 years later, I'm over at NFL Network. So, yeah, man, it's been a great journey. But it's taken, you know, it's interesting, man. We live in an era now where people just get instant, you know, gratification is the thing. You know what I mean? So these millennials running around finding success so quickly, man. But for me, and I'm, you know, I'm in my late 30s, but man, for me, 6 years going from, again, part-time photographer, high school sports to NFL Network, that was, to me, incredibly fast and meteoric rise. But yeah, it's funny. You know, I talk to younger people now, and they're like, wow, man, that took you a long time. I'm like, what? Jesus Christ, it was fast as hell for me, man. Like, I know what, it doesn't seem like it to 20-year-olds now, but Jesus Christ, it felt quick to me. So,
yeah. You can be safe in the knowledge that we're all old as well.
That's good, man.
Yeah, so, yeah, but sadly, unlike you, we've all got faces for radio.
That's how I started my career, man. So I don't begrudge that, man. And I don't think I'm not a particularly good-looking dude either, man. I'm just out here taking care of business.
Yeah, no station's going to put these five faces on TV.
Very good, very good. But yeah, man, it's been fun. You know, I actually started my career in news. I did news for a good, you know, 6 years. And we're talking, I'm talking, you know, crime stories, weather stories, you know, it's political stories. So I covered the whole gamut. And you know, as you guys are so gracious to mention at the top, I did win quite a few awards with my work in hard news. And when I transitioned to sports, I kind of brought that mentality with me, and it kind of, you know, look, I have a lot of fun, and if you guys have seen me on camera at all, I do have quite a bit of fun. But that being said, I feel like I'm able to parse through information in a pretty quick and you know, efficient manner, and relay that info to the viewers and listeners as well. So that's kind of the mentality I bring to the table in terms of sports journalism.
Yeah, that's cool. I've seen some of your work, James, and yeah, some of it is quite funny and a bit off the wall, which is great. You say, obviously, you did news and stuff early in your career. Did you always want to get into sport, and in particular the NFL?
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. My whole passion has been sports my entire career. So, you know, football, basketball, baseball, and more recently, I'm a big boxing and MMA fan. I remember wanting to be a sports broadcaster back when I was, you know, 14 years old. So the news for me, doing hard news, it was also extremely gratifying, you know, helping people and having a very real impact on people's lives was quite satisfying. But I always viewed hard news as kind of just an avenue to move up and move up markets very quickly. Here stateside, man, it's like, you know, I'm not 100% sure how it works overseas, but stateside, you know, you got to pay your dues, and you work small towns, and then you work, you know, middle-sized towns, and then you get to a large market, and then that's kind of where you see your pay increase exponentially. So that was always the old-school path, and that's kind of the path that I followed, and I was extremely fortunate and lucky enough to land where I landed.
Just sticking on your career just for a little bit longer, if that's okay, James. How did you transition then into becoming the fantasy football guy? How did you get that gig, and you know, was that a planned thing?
It wasn't a planned thing. You know, I've been playing fantasy football now for 20 years. You know, I was in my late teens when I started playing fantasy football, and you know, obviously a lot has changed over the last two decades. But I've just been so passionate about it, too. It's not just one of those things where it was a passing, you know, fancy. It was a thing where it consumed me, man. Like, I loved fantasy football. So you say, oh, well, you know, how did you, you know, fall into it at NFL Network? Well, the guy who hired me actually only saw me as a favor to my agent, and my agent, he had gone back quite a few years, and I was pressing my agent, hey man, like, you know, get me in the door, just get me a lunch meeting with this guy. And so my agent was able to kind of broker that meeting. And the first thing this guy says to me is, hey, listen, I just want you to know, it's not a job interview. We don't have any job openings, just FYI. I'm like, hey, that's all good. Well, it's funny, man. Like, you know, we get to talking, we start talking about journalism, we start talking about sports, and then it's all of a sudden, it's like, ah, you know, I'm starting talking about fantasy football. Well, he starts asking me all these other things now. An hour later, he's like, all right, well, what's your availability? I want you to meet with some, you know, some other senior managers. And I looked at him, I said, I thought this wasn't a job interview. And he laughs, and he's like, look, man, look, I'm very impressed. I really like your vibe. And obviously, you know your stuff. So let's just see what we can do. So that's kind of how it worked, you know. And again, it was very unexpected, going from a meeting where this guy was just literally saying, it's not a job interview, it's not a job interview, to, you know, a few months later, you know, being part of the fantasy football program at NFL Network.
So, James, when you were working for the NFL Network doing your fantasy show, did you get a chance to meet some of the players? And if so, who were some of the nicer players that you got to meet?
Oh, yeah, I met a lot of players, man. And you know, quite honestly, you know, I've been in the business long enough where very few people are going to, I just don't get starstruck by guys now, you know, because once you start getting talking to them, you realize, like, these guys are guys with kids, mortgages, car payments, and they're just trying to get by in life too. You know what I mean? So they're not these icons or, you know, demigods as they're sometimes made out to be. And they're humans. You know what I mean? I think once I kind of got over that part of it, then a lot of things changed for me. But anyways, yeah, at the NFL Network, met quite a few really, really nice guys. Let me just say, man, LaDainian Tomlinson, who I just got done saying I don't get starstruck, but literally, LaDainian, I was like, LaDainian Tomlinson, holy hell. But LaDainian Tomlinson was a guy. He was one of my favorite players, man. One of my absolute favorite players. I loved what he did on the field. I loved what he did off the field. And quite frankly, when I was able to finally, you know, he was a colleague of mine. He worked at the network too, but, just the nicest guy. I mean, I'll give you a story, man. You know, we have a locker room at NFL Network. This is where, you know, all the gents, you know, we literally have lockers. So our clothes are hung up there, and we all change in the same area, whatever it is. And he's in there. I forgot who he's talking to, but he's talking to a couple other players. I think he had his manager or something in there too. It's just a group of three guys in there, and they're just chatting. They're talking some noise, blah, blah, blah. I walk in, I'm getting ready for my show. And, you know, we had said, you know, stuff to each other in the, you know, just passing and everything. So he knew who I was, and I knew who he was, obviously. But yeah, you know, after a minute or so, you know, he stops the conversation that he's having with his guys, and he specifically says, hey, James, you know, it's great to see you, you know, blah, 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 blah. And he goes out of his way to break the ice, you know what I'm saying? Because, and not that I'm going to interject myself, or not that I felt uncomfortable, in that environment, I mean, it's just, you know, a couple guys talking, blah, 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 blah. And I certainly wasn't going to interject myself into that conversation. But LaDainian went out of his way to make sure to recognize me and to kind of, you know, again, break the ice, as I say, and just say, hey, listen, hey, hello, I see you, I recognize you. You know, how's everything going? So it was cool, man. Like, that was a very human, you know, response and a very empathetic response for him. And it was one of those things where, you know, you could just tell this is literally one of the nicest dudes. And I can't say enough nice things about LaDainian and my interactions with him.
Yeah, he's always come across as a model pro.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The way he's handled the media throughout his career has always been top notch. The way he's, you know, interacted with his teammates has always been, you know, premier and pristine as well. And again, it's not that he's not a competitive dude, man. Like, you know what I mean? On the field, I mean, this guy was an absolute murderer. You know what I mean? So it's not that, but it's just he has such an ability to understand where he is and, you know, the situation. You know, not running around in real life is not the playing field, man. You know what I'm saying? And some of these guys really lose track of that. You know, and I won't name names, but there are certainly guys that I've met, whether it's NFL or MMA or baseball or basketball, where, you know, they treat you like, you know, it's like they're, I don't know, like they're still, you know, being cheered for on the court or on the field. It's like, you know, it's just, I don't know, some athletes wear it well, and it really has nothing to do with how big of a star you are, honestly. Some of the most douchiest athletes I've ever met, I'm like, bro, I know you because I'm a sports fan, but I guarantee you walk, like, if you and I walk out these doors right now, there's going to be just as many people who recognize me that recognize you. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's the crazy thing, so... Anyways, but yeah, but LT was truly one of the best.
And not naming any names, of course, did you come across anyone who worked in that industry who was a former player who perhaps wasn't so nice, wasn't such a good person?
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. You know what I mean? So I don't know. It's hard to say. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are guys that are just so magnetic. And the camera just loves them, you know? And I can't – and it's – there's like some kind of magical formula going on there that you can't really, it's not science, you know, it's more art. So, I don't know. So yes and no, there are certainly guys who have pursued media careers that were complete a-holes, and did very long. And then there are guys that, you know, are maybe a-holes, but, they're so good on camera that what are you going to do? But you got to put them on, you know? So it's one of those things.
So we're reviewing the top 200 list, what you did back in May, James. And yeah. Obviously it's published a long time before like the off season stuff starts. So obviously back then you had Le'Veon Bell at number one before pretty much everyone knew there was going to be a protracted contract situation again. Would you still have him as your number one fantasy player for the upcoming season, even though he's not training 100%?
Yeah, I do, and I don't really care about that. I mean, he hasn't, you know, he's missed training camp, you know, for large portions of his young career, so I'm not really worried about it. This is a guy that if he can stay healthy, and again, I don't think that there's any correlation, I really don't, between, you know, being in training camp and then getting injured during the regular season. It's just, to me, there's too many outliers, so I don't really care. I view his injury risk like I would any other normal running back that gets a heavy workload, and this is a guy that is a special playmaker in the NFL. So, yes, I still currently have him as number one overall. And, again, most of that is because, you know, I do it based off of PPR rankings. In standard, I think a really great case could be made for Ezekiel Elliott, but in PPR – I mean, Lev is a guy that could legitimately get you, you know, 80 catches, 90 catches. That's a game changer in PPR. You know what I'm saying? So I still have him there. I think you could also make a really strong case that David Johnson could be, you know, a number one overall pick too. Todd Gurley is certainly in the mix. So those four guys, whether we're talking Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley, David Johnson, and Zeke Elliott, I think those are four, you know, guys that are in my top four. The reason I don't have DJ in my top three right now is because the Arizona offense to me projects to be pretty bad. The offensive line is a mess. The quarterback situation is better than it has been, but certainly you can't rely on Sam Bradford to stay healthy, and Josh Rosen's a rookie. So, and then on the outsides, I don't really see a lot of team speed. You know, this is a team that doesn't have a lot of explosive playmakers outside of David Johnson. Christian Kirk, a rookie wide receiver, I think he'll be fine, but he's a speed slot guy. We have to figure out a way to get him involved. So Larry Fitzgerald, I love him. I absolutely love him, but he's not explosive. You know what I'm saying? He's a chain mover at this point. So they don't really have a lot of athletes on the outside other than David Johnson. So I got my concerns with the Arizona offense.
Just looking at another position, that it seems like there's a couple, usually the same sort of two or three players as sort of one, two, and three maybe in terms of tight ends for this year. Are there any sort of deep sleepers as far as tight ends that you like the look of that are maybe going under the radar at the moment?
Yeah, I think Jared Cook in Oakland is certainly somebody that I can get on board with. You know, a good athlete, obviously, you know, not consistent in terms of effort. I don't think he's very consistent in terms of playmaking. I don't know, for whatever reason, he's just not, it just doesn't seem like he's mentally engaged at all times. So certainly there'll be some inconsistencies there, but I think Jon Gruden has shown a proclivity to kind of play it tight to the vest. And I think we're going to see a lot of run game, and I think we'll see, you know, Jared Cook be utilized, especially in the red zone. Look, Michael Crabtree's gone, you know, and not necessarily that that opens up a bunch of targets because, you know, I'm blanking on his name. Jordy Nelson. I was about to call him Jared Nelson, which made no sense. Jordy Nelson.
Yeah.
Jordy and Jared. That's where I'm getting confused. Anyways, Jordy Nelson certainly will absorb quite a few of those targets, but I do think they'll sprinkle in a little bit more Jared Cook. He's easily the best athlete that they've had at that position over the last few years. So, yeah, I think Jared Cook certainly could be walking into a pretty good workload. And quite honestly, man, when you're outside of the top two or three guys at the tight end position, you're really just chasing workload. I mean, really, forget about talent, forget about athleticism and all those things. I really, the only thing I care about is target share. And to me, in Oakland, other than Amari Cooper and Jordy Nelson, and again, Jordy Nelson's not even, I think he's a good player and I think he's a good value, but he's not going to be a guy that's going to, you know, soak in 150 targets. You know what I'm saying? I think we're talking about a guy that looks at about 100 targets probably next year, but in an offense that will, the defense is still a mess, and, you know, they're going to have to throw the ball, I would imagine, you know, north of 500 times. Jared Cook looks like a tight end in an offense that will utilize him. So, I think he's a pretty good late round option if you're looking for volume at the tight end position.
And I've been doing a couple of mock drafts just today, and I've noticed it just seemed very curious to me that obviously based on the reputation from last season, people seem to be reaching for the Jags defense quite early on for a defense to me, say like 9th to 11th round somewhere. But I thought about it in a league that I'm in actually last year. We had someone who he just couldn't pick a decent roster at all, but he did draft the Jags defense first. And then he seemed to have this sort of magical curse over any head-to-head opponent every week that they couldn't outscore him somehow. But do you think the Jags defense legit in terms of fantasy? Is it worth reaching for something like that based on how they did last season?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always kind of torn on this, you know, because people always say you should wait on defense, you should stream defense, and they're always preaching stream defense and stream quarterbacks. The only problem with that is if you're in a hyper-competitive – look, if you're either in A, a hyper-competitive league, or B, you yourself are not a competitive player in terms of – and I don't want to, you know, demean people who take it more casually, but I'm just saying if you're playing in a league where you don't want to look at FPA, you don't want to look at matchups all the time, you don't have time in your day to go literally, you know, hit the waiver wire right at midnight. You know what I'm saying? If you're not that guy, and there's a lot of people who play this way, I still think taking the Jags defense earlier than you would normally take an asset is fine. I think taking a quarterback, if it's Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, or one of these elite guys like Russell Wilson or Cam Newton, I think that's fine. I mean, look, there's a lot to be said of streaming the position, and yes, strategically and mathematically, it makes the most sense to do it. But there's a lot of assumptions in that. One is that everyone is taking it, you know, crazy, as crazy seriously as you are, which most people aren't. And then B, this is the other problem. Look, I play in an extremely competitive, I mean, I'm talking big buy-in, extremely competitive, 14-team league, okay? Yeah. Everyone's hitting the waiver wire at midnight. Every single team is hitting the waiver wire at midnight. The chances that you actually get the streaming option you want is pretty low. So it's funny to me, man. It takes into – like when people say you got to stream defense and you got to stream quarterback, it takes into account two extreme – variables that I don't think are in most leagues, which is A, that you are an anal retentive fantasy manager, and B, you're playing against people who don't care. Like those are two assumptions to me that just how many leagues are set up that way? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm either in a super casual league that I don't care about, that I don't want to think about streaming, or B, I am being super anal about my pickups. But you know what? I'm playing with 10 other managers, 12 other managers that are doing the exact same damn thing. So you can't get away with doing these type of things. So I find it interesting. I really do. That so many fantasy experts are so down on taking quarterback early and taking defenses early. So Jags in round 9, it's a little rich for my blood. But I tell you what, in round 10, I feel good about it. So, I mean, I'm splitting hairs at this point, aren't I?
Yeah. We seem to have an unfortunate record with talking about injuries on this podcast as well. Last week when we started focusing on fantasy, we were talking about like who could be good as a rookie this year. And we called out the names, Darius Geis, Deion Kane. Obviously, there were others as well, but we also mentioned Dylan Cantrell as a really deep sleeper to watch. And then the day that the podcast went out, all three of them got injured. So is there anyone that you really like?
I am scared. I'm literally scared about what names you're about to say right now.
Yeah, pretty much. So especially if they're on Chargers, you know, with their reputation for injuries at the moment.
Oh, goodness. Yes, please don't say those names, please.
But who would you, if you had to pick one rookie, maybe erring on the slipper side that maybe isn't being talked about this year, and hopefully they don't go down injured in preseason week 2, but what sort of names would you be talking about?
You know, a rookie, man. See, the problem is rookies, there's very few rookie sleepers, if you will. You know what I'm saying? Because I love somebody, for example, like Royce Freeman. I love him, but he's not a sleeper. He's going pretty early. And some of these other running backs, too, that are rookies are going awfully early. I mean, I guess if I had to – I mean, Jordan Wilkins there in Indianapolis is a rookie running back that I think would fit that bill. Marlon Mack has been battling with injuries all throughout the offseason. Look, he had offseason shoulder injury. That's a big-time problem for a running back, okay? We've seen those injuries pile up and just be, you know, one of those problematic injuries, too, for fantasy managers where guy might be good to go and hurts it, you know, first, second play of the game and he's out. You know what I'm saying? So shoulder off-season surgery for Marlon Mack, and then obviously the hamstrings and lower body ailments that have kind of kept him in and out of training camp as well. So Jordan Wilkins is an interesting rookie for the Colts backfield, mostly because Nyheim Hines, who has gotten a lot of press clippings as well, look, he just profiles as one of these guys that's going to be an electric playmaker, probably a pass-catching option, but most likely not going to be an every-down guy. Neither is Jordan Wilkins, really, but you could at least see him getting early down work, you know, work near the goal line, and that's where, from a fantasy perspective, you know, you really want to attach yourself to those type of players. So I guess, I mean, other than that, it's like, I mean, even someone like DJ Moore, who I really, really like, and I think is going to have a great, could have a great, you know, ceiling. I guess maybe I'm too far into it. Is he a sleeper? I don't know. Cause I guess he's going, you know, somewhere in the top 100 picks too. So, even DJ Moore, who I think has got a good chance. I'm not sure he's necessarily a sleeper, but he is somebody that I like.
So you mentioned earlier, James, that you're into a lot of sports, not just the NFL, but other sort of North American sports as well. A bit of boxing, the MMA and all that sort of stuff as well. Just wondering, do you ever get a chance to watch any other sports? You have any interest in soccer at all?
Sadly, I do not. Every 4 years when the World Cup happens, I am so into it, man. I'm all about it. And I love it. I love all the stories. You know, I love, you know, finding out about different players and, you know, like, for example, I was fascinated by the fact that Leo Messi can't hit a penalty kick. Like, I love that, you know, like these are stories. And so like, and when I hear about stuff like that, so then like you go on YouTube and it's like, yeah, somebody's made like a comp of like of all the Messi misses, you know, so it's like, I'm fascinated, you know, it's like Messi's an unbelievable player, but what the hell? Like, he can't hit a PK? Like, what's going on here? But, yeah, so, you know, or like, you know, like, for example, like 8 years ago, I knew nothing about, you know, Luis Suarez, but all of a sudden Suarez is like freaking Dracula out here just biting everybody. I didn't know that. But then, of course, like, you go online and there's like a bunch of videos of Suarez biting people. I'm like, this is great. I love this stuff. But, unfortunately, I'm not a big soccer fan or football, as you guys call it out there, but I can't say that I'm a big fan, but every 4 years, man, holy hell, I really dive deep into the World Cup. I love it. You know, soccer, MLS is doing well in America, but it's hard to find matches, you know what I'm saying, on a consistent basis, especially for my time zone. So it's hard. Like, sometimes I'll have, like, you know, Premier League soccer, but it's on at like 5 a.m. over here. So it's like, I would watch it, but I'm just not a big enough fan to get up at 5 a.m. to watch Premier League, you know?
I've got the most important question.
Please.
Right. So the most important question is, we want to keep it a slightly off-piste, what's your favorite cheese?
What's my favorite cheese? Ooh, that's a good one. Let me think about this here. I'm not a cheese aficionado. No. But I was actually going to go off menu here, and I was going to say Comté is one of my favorite cheeses. Although I am a really big, fresh mozzarella fan too.
Ooh, good call.
You know, yeah. So a little bit of this. I'm a soft cheese type fan, although I'm not a big fan of brie. I don't, for whatever reason, brie just doesn't speak to me. But give me a fresh mozzarella with some a little salami, a little fresh mozz, a little vinegar. I'm good. Balsamic vinegar. Pour that on top. Let's go.
It's a solid choice, to be fair.
Yeah, you know, I really like smoked cheese.
Yeah, so are you like a smoked Gouda guy? Because, see, like, for me, smoked cheeses are a little aggressive. You know what I mean? It's like, you can't eat it with anything. I mean, a cracker, fine, but I'm saying, you know, it's like, if I wanted it like on a sandwich, it's tough to do, you know what I mean?
Yeah, to be honest, I'm all about the grilled halloumi.
Ooh, grilled halloumi, yes. I forgot about the old grilled halloumi. That's a good one. I like that one, too. That's not bad. Obviously, I see. Here's the thing. Obviously, I favor cheeses that go well on sandwiches. That's
yeah,
my
me too.
So a grilled halloumi, yes, 100%. But like, and you know, like I said, a fresh mozzarella too. You know, like that's gonna go great on a deli sandwich. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? So, I guess I do have a preference for those. I'm not one of those wine and cheese guys. You know, it's like, oh, this is great as a cube. You know, like I'm not a cube cheese person. So.
To be fair, it has slightly redeemed him from putting Dalvin Cook as the 18th running back on his top 200.
I wondered if you were going to get that in there.
Oh, no, I'm devastated about that.
Hold up. Let me talk about Dalvin Cook very quickly here, okay? Because you bring it up, and I know, this is my top 200 from May, so a lot of things have changed. Not saying the doubt, I'm still not a huge Dalvin Cook guy, but I will say this, man, a lot of his efficiency last year. I have at my disposal right Next Gen Stats, and we have a great measure called yards gained after close. And this basically measures how many yards you pick up after a defender closes to within 1 yard. Wow, we go from cheese to advanced stats. I love this podcast. This is great. Let me just say, man, like, you know, you look at some of the numbers and you're saying, okay, well, you know, obviously, you know, in limited snaps or whatever it was, 74 carries, 4.78 yards per carry. This guy was fantastic. And obviously he was utilized in the pass game as well. Listen, the advanced stats for in terms of elusiveness, they don't bear out very well. Okay. Because yards gained after close, he was truly mediocre in that regard. So 3.67 yards gained after a defender closed to within 1 yard. This is in the same vein as Tavon Austin, as Frank Gore. This is worse than Jonathan Stewart. This is, you know, like Devontae Booker, Wendell Smallwood. He's in that category of runner in terms of elusiveness. Well, you're saying, how did he have 4.78 yards per carry then? It's because his offensive line, which, oh, by the way, is quite good. His offensive line generated some of the best push up front in the NFL on his carry. So we're going to see a massive, I think, you know, regression in terms of yards per carry for Dalvin Cook. And I thought, look, Latavius Murray, he's got his limitations, but he's going to get work. This is not going to be a situation where Dalvin Cook comes in and just, you know, gets 30 touches a ball game. It's just not going to happen. It's still going to be a backfield split. And to me, again, I don't know if Dalvin, I may have overreacted with Dalvin Cook as my RB18 because, quite frankly, now that I think about it, that does seem a little low. But that being said, I'm not nearly as bullish on Dalvin Cook as some of my fantasy cohorts. So that's just my take. I think we're going to see some regression in terms of efficiency. And when we do, how long will the coaching staff, you know, feel comfortable just continually pounding the rock with Dalvin Cook? He's still going to have a large say in the passing game because Latavius Murray has shown absolutely no ability out of the backfield as well. So we know he'll be involved there, but just between the tackles as a pure runner, I think Latavius Murray is as good, if not better, than Dalvin Cook.
Wow, I feel suitably put in my place now.
But hey, listen, grilled halloumi though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. You see, you'll remember that though, won't you?
I will. I'm going to go to the store right now to go find some halloumi, grill that bad boy up in the front.
Yeah, thanks very much, James. I really hope you enjoy whatever cheese you go and buy from your local store, whether it's grilled halloumi or mozzarella or whatever. Can I just say on behalf of everyone at the First Down Snapcast, just a massive thank you for joining us today and taking your time out of your day to speak to us. It's been an absolute privilege having you on the show. Thank you.
Hey, man, no doubt, no problem.
Thank you, James.
Cheers.
Okay, so now it's time for all the latest news and rumours from around the NFL.
NFL news and rumours.
And we're going to begin our news and rumours here this week.
The NFL in London. Game 1. Seattle Seahawks at Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, so earlier this week it was announced that Tottenham Hotspur's new stadium isn't going to be ready for the NFL clash between the Seahawks and the Raiders on October the 14th. Despite recent assurances, Spurs have to admit defeat in their quest to get the stadium ready in time to play Liverpool on September the 15th. But issues regarding safety certificates have pushed the whole thing back. But I don't know, does this come as much of a surprise?
I called it in episode one, if you remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did. I was saying they weren't going to fail, Stu, obviously, but I think as the weeks have gone on since that first podcast, I think more things have come to light where some images have leaked of where bathrooms aren't ready. And I think it's finally Daniel Levy's had to admit that the construction's that far behind, it's just nothing's possible.
Yeah, well, I mean, like we said in when we said a couple of weeks ago, I mean, my point was that the NFL would not have been asking Wembley if they had availability if they weren't seriously concerned that Spurs wasn't going to be available. Yeah. So,
I totally agree with that. I think the fact that we had that, 3 weeks ago, where there was that announcement, I mean, alarm bells were ringing then for me, because why would they say Wembley was on standby if there was not going to be anything in it? So I don't think this is a surprise, but it is a bit embarrassing.
I think it's egg on your face for Daniel Levy, because obviously the NFL have pumped a lot of millions of pounds into this. And for him to now say, yeah, it's not going to be this year. Luckily, the NFL have got Wembley. Oh, they would have been kicking him.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it's obviously not great for Spurs, because they've basically let down a massive financial backer. The NFL have put a lot of money into that stadium to be able to use it as a facility when they come over. It actually, funny enough, it's worked out in the favour of the fans, really, because there was a lot of talk that Seahawks Raiders game was going to be difficult for people to get tickets, because obviously the capacity of the stadium is a lot less than Wembley, and obviously with it switching back to Wembley now, there's a lot of season ticket holders that are going to be a lot happier, because they're going to be able to guarantee their seat, whereas they won't be able to guarantee the seat at Spurs.
I was going to say there's lots of just sort of non-season ticket holder fans actually who now suddenly feel like they've got a chance to go, myself included actually. I might actually possibly be able to make it if it's at Wembley.
It's
one of those things where out of a complete and utter disaster, actually the fans are actually benefiting from this disaster. So as much as it's a bad thing, it's also quite a good thing for the UK fans, because obviously there's going to be, I think the White Hart Lane capacity is about 70,000, but Wembley holds 90, so there's a good 20,000 fans there that are going to be able to get to see an NFL game.
Yeah, I think there's also going to be questions now asked about the longer term contract issues around Tottenham, because originally there should have been two at Tottenham, two at Wembley this year, because Tottenham are contracted to two games here and so Wembley, but it already been agreed to knock it down for one due to the stadium issue. Are Tottenham going to have to play catch-up now, because they did effectively owe the NFL two games in this 10-year partnership extra now?
Well, I think what we're forgetting here is the approach that the Jacksonville Jaguars have made to actually buying Wembley. So if that actually goes ahead, and I know that they were doing some due diligence with regards to the finances, if they go ahead and buy Wembley, then there's no other way that you can say that the Jacksonville Jaguars aren't going to become a UK franchise. And if that happens, then Tottenham is going to be the only other ground that the NFL can use for any other NFL game, because obviously Wembley then will be tied up for the Jags.
That's an interesting point, yeah. I never thought of that, actually.
So there's a lot more connotations to this than the NFL not being able to show two games. Is because effectively, if that due diligence on Jacksonville buying, and I've forgotten the guy's name, what's he called?
It's Khan, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it, Khan. If he actually goes ahead and pushes it through, which I think it was something like, was it £800 million or something?
Yeah.
So if he buys it, then he's not going to be buying a stadium to be lending it out for Seahawks and Raiders to be playing in it, is he? He's going to be buying it for the sole purpose of moving the Jacksonville Jaguars to the UK. So... Yeah.
He's already said to FA England can't play a variant winner, hasn't he? When the NFL season's on.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's going to open a completely different debate with regards to the English football side of things, but it just means that we're going to have a UK franchise, and then all other NFL games are going to have to be played at Tottenham, which is, probably what the NFL were thinking of
because they will have known of Khan's plans.
Do you think that I mean, this we're talking hypothetical situations here, but do you think if the Jags do come over as a UK franchise, do you think that the international series on it, or whatever it's called these days, the London games, will be dead? You know, like, will they still bring other games over as well?
I think they've mentioned before that even if a franchise came here, they'd still have the marquee games in the London series, but I could see that maybe shifting also. If we got a franchise, you could see Germany hold games.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, Richard. I think what you might find is if the UK get a franchise, instead of getting three games a year, we might only get two, and then Berlin or Munich might pick up another one.
Yeah.
But effectively, you'd have all the Jags home games plus two, so it'd be double-digit home games anyway, if fans could be rich enough to go and see them all.
Yeah, I think you're going to get more UK fans going to a Jags home game than they get in Jacksonville, put it that way.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Definitely. Now, there's always a few heartbreaking stories during training camp, and we've seen several players go down with injuries. Nothing unusual there. But one player set to miss the entire 2018 season is Redskins rookie running back Darius Geis, who went down in the first quarter of Washington's game against New England last week. Now, you know, it's never nice to see these kind of injuries, but for a rookie, this is just the stuff of nightmares.
To be fair, he was built up as being, you know, quite a good rookie as well, and you've got to feel for the lad, because obviously he's gone through the whole, you know, showcase, there's the draft, and he's managed to get himself on a roster, and obviously this happens, and it just, you know, it's going to knock him back, and it's going to be interesting to see how he comes back next year. It's obviously going to be it's harder for the Redskins as well, because obviously they've only got Pirine and they've got
Rob Kelly, aren't they?
Chris Thompson.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, they were talking last year about Fat Kelly, weren't they? And are you going to get the same one again this year? They didn't seem overly keen on Pirine, and Chris Thompson, is he really an all-down back? So it's a difficult one, because if they were happy with those options, then they wouldn't have drafted Geis in the first place, would they? So,
well, yeah, it's interesting that, because the head coach, Gruden, came out and said that they took Geis because he was the best player available, because I think he'd slipped to the second round. And that it wasn't because he was unhappy with what he already had. Whether you believe that or not, is another matter.
I do believe Washington have suffered badly the last two seasons with offensive injuries. Obviously, Jordan Reed suffered a lot. Jameson Crowder and Josh Doctson have all been out for serious long times, and they've all come back in off season, all looking good, and then they've delivered this knockback. Alex Smith's been looking good, so it's looking all promising in potentially a close NFC East. But injury happened again.
Do we think that this is a possible opportunity for someone like Adrian Peterson to come in to Redskins as an all-down back?
Well, again, going on what Gruden said, he said there's no plans to sign a veteran running back at the moment.
I think he might change his tune after about two or three weeks when he realises that he's getting no production out of the three that he's got.
Well, the thing is, the Redskins were the fifth worst team last year in rushing.
It doesn't surprise me. I mean, that's the fifth worst rushing with the three that he's now going into the next season with.
Exactly.
So you could imagine, as to Stuart's point, that could change after a couple of weeks into the season.
Yeah, and I mean, and someone like, I mean, I'm not even sure if there's any other. I would have said DeMarco Murray would have been another option, but obviously he's retired. But Adrian Peterson is an all-down back. He wants to take the workload. So, you know, whether he's still got it is another question, but he's definitely an option that Redskins can look at.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be any worse than what they've got, even with his age and stuff.
I think he'd be better than what they've got, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly, I agree.
But it's put a lot more pressure on now in the opening weeks on Alex Smith connecting to his receivers. But hopefully, if Jordan Reed stays fit, you've got to say Jordan Reed's probably in the same build as Kelsey, so Alex Smith should have some good success there.
And now it's the show where we hand it over to you and our two-minute drill. Rich, who have you been speaking to this week?
So this week we've been interviewing regular contributor on NFL Fans Yorkshire, Ian Davis.
Doing very well, thank you, Richard. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thanks, Ian. Now let's get down to the business of your two-minute drill and your question. How did you get into the NFL, Ian?
I think like a lot of people of my sort of age, I got into it in the mid-80s when Channel 4 started showing it on television.
Who is your favourite team?
My favourite team is the mighty Dallas Cowboys.
Do you prefer the run game or the pass game?
It's always nice to see a spectacular catch, but I think with our offensive line and Zeke Elliott, I'm going to have to say the running game.
Who is your most favourite player of all time?
Favourite player of all time is Roger Staubach, quarterback from the Cowboys in their early Super winning days. My favourite player at the moment, I would have said Dez Bryant, but I'm a little bit mardy with him at the minute with a few comments he's made about Sean Lee and Travis Frederick.
If you could have a player from any other NFL team in the Dallas Cowboys, who would it be and why?
Can't believe I'm going to admit this, but it's actually Richard Sherman. I love his attitude. I know a lot of people hate the way he comes across, but I just love it. I just think it shows his desire to win.
Have you attended any games in the UK or in America? And if so, which has been the best game you've experienced?
I do go to all the NFL International Series games. Been going there for quite a few years, so all of those. I went to see the Miami Dolphins and Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year. And I did go to see Dallas play at the MetLife against the Giants, the game where Odell Beckham made that catch. But it was a good day because we came back to winning that one.
That concludes this week's 2 Minute Drill. And if you would like to be like Ian and come on the 2 Minute Drill, if you can drop us an email at nflfansyorkshire@gmail.com or comment on the Facebook group page. Thank you.
As ever, we round off the First Down Snapcast with our honourable mentions, the part of the show where we hand some time over to the bizarre, the unusual, the funny, and the different from around the NFL. So, who's going to kick us off today?
I've got one, if you don't mind me starting first, Stu.
No, you crap on, yeah.
Don't be polite, Rich. Just jump in.
You know, sometimes it's like that.
It better be good now.
TMZ Sports came out yesterday with a shot on a report on Matt Stafford's wife, Kelly. So Kelly is currently 38 weeks pregnant, but she's in the gym with a new routine called Operation Get the Baby Out. So Kelly's is due in 2 weeks, but she doesn't want to wait a further 2 weeks. So she is signed up to Elite Training USA and is crushing everything from battle ropes to weight sleds and even some modified deadlifts.
Has she done this on doctor's advice, or is this?
I can't imagine doctors have approved of this, but I will get the link posted in the NFL Fans Yorkshire group. But there's a video of her doing it, and it's like, wow, 38 weeks pregnant, and she's still doing that. She can do more than I can do, and I'm not pregnant.
Yeah,
Richard, my 1-year-old can do more than you can do.
Yeah, that's true.
Did she tweet something? Was it Jalen Ramsey who went on his quarterback rampage earlier this week, where he basically just slid off every quarterback in the league? And didn't she reply, basically standing up for her husband?
I think there have been a few like partners of these quarterbacks who have come back to Jalen Ramsey saying, "Really?"
Yeah, because that was another one that I was going to mention, that Jalen Ramsey basically in an interview. I mean, to be honest, he's suspended at the minute, so he's probably got not a lot to do. He was given an interview where he was basically going through all the quarterbacks in the NFL, and he basically slags them all off. It's really
just
funny.
Just listing them, wasn't he? Like, yeah, overrated, no good.
The one that made me laugh was that he basically said that Eli Manning was overrated. And one of the reporters that was looking after the Giants said to Eli Manning, "Oh, have you heard what Jalen Ramsey said?" And Eli Manning just really deadpan turned around and just went, "Who?"
Yeah, yeah, it was a great reply.
It did make me chuckle a lot. It did, even Blake Bortles didn't escape it either, did he?
I know, slagging off your own quarterback as well. I mean, we all know what my thoughts on Blake Bortles are, so to be honest, it's got to be true if his own players are thinking it.
To be fair, his rant sounds like something you could have done yourself, Stuart.
I don't rant. I point out key facts. I think that's the difference.
I'm sure that's what Ramsey says too.
I think the best one was on back of the Manning one. He said Joe Flacco obviously has won 2 Super Bowls and Ben Roethlisberger 2 Super Bowls. At least he came out and said they both suck.
Yeah. Right. To be fair, Joe Flacco does suck now.
Controversial. There'll be some Ravens fans not agreeing with you there. And probably some that do.
Yeah, I've already upset Bears fans. I might as well just do a clean sweep, aren't I?
Just moving on to the Browns, there's quite a lot of stuff going on with them, isn't there? Starting with something I expect we might see on Hard Knocks this week about Hugh Jackson's punishment.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, this is probably one of the funniest things that I've seen this week is that basically we discussed it on the last podcast that Callaway was caught with marijuana in his possession in his car when he was out driving at 3 a.m. in the morning during training camp, as you do. And Hugh Jackson was really annoyed that he'd had to found out this information via the media and that Callaway hadn't actually gone up to him and confessed and basically owned up to it. So to punish him, during the game against the Giants, he left him in for every snap.
Yeah, that's not the only thing Hugh Jackson's been up to this week. He's a few head scratching decisions. Well, maybe that one wasn't head scratching. We could sort of see what he's doing there. But Rich, he's come out today about the quarterback situation, hasn't it?
Yeah, so it's come out today, and sometimes it's like I don't understand where some of his logic's coming from. But it's now indicating that Baker Mayfield will be at number 3 at quarterback, and based on how he was in his first pre-season game, I don't think he dropped to number 3. And I just can't remember who he said's going at number 2.
Stanton.
Stanton. He didn't even come into the record. As far as I can see, Browns have got Baker Mayfield and Tyrod Taylor. There's no other quarterback there, so yeah. The fact that someone's going in between.
Is this
Hugh Jackson playing playing games? Is he just messing about here?
But I see it two ways.
Can he afford to lose not winning a game for 3 years?
But this is what gets me.
To set new records.
Yeah, there's one or two things going on here. He's either playing psychological games with every other NFL team, which is a bit daft because he hasn't won a game in he's won one game in 2 years, or he's having a full on mental breakdown.
I'm worried about this guy.
I'm going to propose something for us guys and anybody that's listening that wants to take part. I'm going to start a little bit of a sweepstake on what happens first. Either Hugh Jackson gets sacked or has a full-on mental breakdown, or Andrew Luck gets injured. Which is going to happen first?
Well, judging by... Judging by... I don't know. Jackson seems to be like the invincible man, though, doesn't he? So my money would be on Luck getting injured first.
Yeah. I'm 32 and he's still standing in the job.
Are we going to have
some... Don't exaggerate, Rich.
Are we going to have some tea bags placed on this?
Well, maybe herbal tea bags or something.
No. I'm gonna bet. I reckon 20 Yorkshire tea bags that Hugh Jackson has some form of mental breakdown or gets sacked before Andrew Luck gets injured.
How many tea bags does a sachet of hot chocolate equal?
Oh no! I mean, I'm not getting into this. I mean,
I've got no interest in tea bets.
Well, wrap them up and give them to your missus. I'm not betting in chocolate. This isn't the only way. It's ethics.
We can sort this out later.
on that one, it is 1 in 31 that he's won at Cleveland.
The more amusing thing about the Cleveland Browns is that last pre-season they went 5-0.
Yeah, they've got a good record in the pre-season, haven't they?
Maybe pre-season's just that their thing.
The champions of pre-season.
Yeah.
There's a bit more breaking news with the Browns, and I don't want to keep banging on about the Browns, but I think this is quite relevant, I guess. Apparently Dez Bryant's been spotted, photographed in fact, signing Cleveland Browns helmets already in the, it looks like an airport, as he's been to Cleveland. So.
Yeah, I think this is more of a formality. Now he's done.
I'm surprised.
I think he's want to be start. He wants to be at a team before the season starts. Whether it lasts the full season is another matter.
I think he would have been better off holding out, to be honest.
Especially if someone goes down week one.
Yeah, I mean, there's still a lot of question marks over Josh Gordon. And to be fair, they might be bringing in Dez Bryant, knowing that Josh Gordon is not coming back. So that's yet to be cleared up. But Baker Mayfield seemed to have a really good connection with Callaway in that first preseason game, and that was only on a handful of drives. So you'd be expecting them maybe to put a little bit more faith in the rookies that they've brought in. I don't even know if Dez will be happy because he's not going to be the number one. You know, Landry or Juice, as he likes to be called, will be number one, won't he? So I think it's an odd one. I think Dez Bryant have been better off holding out, hoping for an injury. You know, if an injury goes down in training camp or in the first set of pre-season games, he's probably going to be in a better position to jump in as a first-choice wide receiver.
Yeah, that might be a better option, like you say, because with Tyrod, he does like to play through tight end, doesn't he? So
I mean, I expected him to go, to be honest, I expected him to go somewhere like the Redskins because they don't have great luck with injuries and there isn't really a standout number one wide receiver there. They've obviously got Pierre Garçon and Josh Doctson, but neither of them have really been fit for the last two seasons. So I expected him to go somewhere more like that, to be honest.
We'll find out, won't we, what's going to happen over the next few weeks. Unfortunately, I think time's defeated us once again here at the First Down Snapcast, so it's time to say goodbye. But before we go, Rich, can you just tell our listeners where people can find us on the internet?
Yeah, so you can find us on Facebook at the NFL Fans Yorkshire, also on Twitter at the same name, and also the podcast on Twitter is at TSnapcast. Again, make up from the tea what you want, Yorkshire tea, but it is at TSnapcast.
Thanks for that, Rich, and thanks for you for listening as well. Cheers also to Alex and Stuart, and a massive thank you to our special guest, James Kerr, who took a time out of his schedule to come and chat to us here on the First Down Snapcast. We really hope that you enjoyed having that. But until next week, it's goodbye from all of us.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.